Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name and welcome to this part of the service. I've really enjoyed what we've had so far. It's been a blessing already to be here. All the way from the first. And I thought it was just interesting that second song that we sang, Would Men Know You've Been With Jesus? I think it's so something we should ask ourselves often. And I know for myself I do far too little. I'd like to welcome you visitors here too. If you don't feel, let me see. Kevin, I don't see anybody else, but I hardly feel like a visitor. It's good to have you here. And your family. Reminds me of old times. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. I also really enjoyed the devotional this morning about silence. And, you know, I think it's so important that we give God time to talk to us. And one of the things that I do too much of, I think, is pay attention to that little hard rectangle that we spend so much time holding in our hands and putting up to our ears, our phones. You know, whenever we have a spare moment, we pull it out and look at it and read the news or do whatever we do with it. And, you know, we don't give our mind time to work. And as soon as we aren't busy with something else, that's in our hands. And it cuts off that time when God can talk to us. And when we can just be quiet and let thoughts happen. Let God speak. And so that was interesting as an attribute of a Christian or of somebody who wants to be serious about their Christian life is silence. I've got another attribute I'd like to talk about this morning. And there are so many things that are involved in being a Christian, or so many things that we should say are hallmarks. I'd like to talk about a hallmark of being a child of God this morning. Luke 6, 31 through 33. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. As you would that men should do to you. I'd like to talk about a very simple concept this morning. One that we talk about with our children all the time. And that is kindness. Kindness. You know, we can have lofty theological discourses with each other. And we can have shining characters, integrity above reproach. We can seek to impress others with the breadth and the depth of our intellect. We can be ever so correct in so many ways. But I think we should be suspicious of any Christianity that does not gentle us. When Christ enters into our heart, he enters as his example was. And that is in gentleness and in kindness. And kindness is a hallmark of the people of God. It involves looking out for each other. It involves sympathy. It involves empathy, which is seeing things from the other person's point of view. It involves advice, correction, and it's powered by love. In Proverbs 31, talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's the law of kindness. You know, it's a fact. All the advice that we can give, the good information that you need to have that I've got for you right here, the criticism, the insights, the nagging, the correction, it doesn't do one thing. It doesn't win a heart. And it's when we reach out and care enough to care that we can actually get to each other. Ephesians 4:29 through 5:1. says this. And the reason I'm going to 5:1 is I think it's a continuation of the thought. Interestingly enough, the chapters and verses that we have in our Bibles, the chapters were divided back in the 1200s by a bishop, an archbishop of Canterbury. And they are really helpful tools in helping us study the Bible, find places. But I think sometimes they mess us up a little bit. And Ephesians 4:29 through 5:1, I think, is an example of that. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Are we a follower of God? The same Christ who said, "Let the children come to me, don't forbid them." The same one who had a heart for those around him that were needy, who were in the wrong. Did it ever strike you that those who need our kindness the most probably deserve it the least? What do we have for them? Sharp words? Maybe you're not man or woman enough to say them to their face. So what do? You say them to your friend. And they come through the grapevine and come back to them. Is that what Christ would have done? Are our words sharp, like swords, knives in the back? Or are they like Proverbs 18, verses 21, where it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." What kind of fruit do our tongues have? Is it a fruit of kindness? "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Sometimes, you know, there is such a thing as mindful cruelty, where we intend to hurt, we intend to slander, we gossip, and those things are hurtful and we intend them to hurt. Or at least on some level, we get some satisfaction out of it. But sometimes it's not that at all. Sometimes it's thoughtlessness. Sometimes it's just not caring enough to care. And what does that say about us? We don't mean to be mean, we just don't care. Your existence doesn't register in my radar. What does that say about us? And I'd like just maybe practically to stick my neck out here a little bit and say one of those things. I think we have sometimes the two sides of one coin. And one beautiful thing, I think, about our church and about Christian families is that joy of extended family. And we've got big families and extended big families. And you've got birthday parties, you've got Christmas, you've got Thanksgiving, you've got Easter, you've got Mother's Day and Father's Day, and you've got a full calendar, at least it is over at our house, just keeping up with all those things going on. And guess what? How much time do we have left for those people who don't? It's just something to put in, just a bug in your ear. Do we think about those people maybe who are feeling left out, who are on the sidelines? Or is it just, it doesn't matter to us? We're too busy. We don't care enough to care. I think, once again, Christ's example should guide us in this. And, you know, I think I'm just as guilty in this as anybody, I'll just be honest. But it's important, I think, that we take time to do some of these things consciously. Kindness takes consciousness. It takes looking around at the people beside you and around you. It takes looking past the facade. It's a lot harder to do than make a snide remark. It involves opening your heart to a person, which is a dangerous thing to do at all times. But it's once again a hallmark of a follower of Christ. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. This is 1 John 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's where it really is. Like I said, we can have our theology just right. We can have a conversation in which we feel like our intellect is prominently on display. We can put the other person in his place and let them know. That's not a hallmark of Christ. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Kindness is not patronizing either. It's not saying, I know that you deserve to be treated less than I am treating you, but I, because I am a good person and want to gain brownie points with God, I will treat you well. That's just as hurtful, I think, as a lot of other things. It's not patronizing. Whose responsibility is kindness? Somebody's being unkind to you. It's their responsibility, right? I'm just sitting here waiting for them to be kind to me. Kindness is contagious, and it's all of our responsibility. Would men know you've been with Jesus? We can't do anything about the actions of others, but we can do something about our own actions. Kindness is all of our responsibility. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I think that's the picture of a kind word. So many times we want to get in that parting shot and just let the other person know in just a snide little remark that, yeah, gotcha. But that's not what, that certainly isn't apples of gold and a picture of silver. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That's a picture of a kind person, a tree of life. It's not just not doing bad. It's not just not hurting each other, but it's a tree of life. It's giving life. And when we talk to people and when we interact with people, they are, maybe they're not better for it, but we intend it. That's what our intent is. You know, in our foolish, bumbling way, we hurt each other without meaning to sometimes. But we intend to lift each other up. We intend to build each other up. It's a tree of life. But perverseness therein, perverseness in the tongue, is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Two more scriptures. One is found in 1 Peter, and this is one that I ran into the other day and just really struck me. You know, God doesn't ever ask something of us that he doesn't give us something in return. He doesn't, sometimes he says, just do it, but there's always a reward coming back. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You know, all this good advice, right? God makes me not gossip. I'm really not supposed to gossip because I'm a Christian. Well, why? It's because God says, if you want to enjoy your life, that's the way you live. Now, if you don't really want to enjoy your life, if you want to be bitter, if you want to be always suspicious of what people are saying about you, then don't do this. But if you want to love life, this is the thing to do. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Beautiful, isn't it? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Such a contrast. Sometimes we feel like maybe people don't deserve our kindness. They've pushed us too far. Or they're just irritating. Or they don't fit. or they just are easy targets, and we're busy, or we've got our social clan already set up, and we don't have an opening. Thank you and sorry. What about Christ? What motivated Christ to come down here and die for us? Did we deserve it? Ephesians 2. Let's just look over at Ephesians 2. I'm so thankful we're going over this in Bible memory. And I just, it's so loaded with beautiful things. Let's see. Look at Christ's example to us. In verses, well, we could read the whole thing, but down to verses 7 through 8, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, talking about God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We so little deserve grace. It's given to us by the kindness of God. Can we extend that kindness to others around us? Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. I want to thank you for your goodness to us and your kindness. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to exemplify this trait and to think of those around us and to be aware and to care enough that it makes a difference in how we act toward each other. I just pray that you would just work in each of our lives and perfect us more and more into your image, Lord. Make us small in our own eyes, and I just pray that you would loom large in our vision.